Welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. It is a delight to welcome David Safford and Jillian Snow Harris, who are going to be doing their show, a Liberace. I don't know why that
That's
came out
the
that
French
way.
Pronunciation.
Or just a goofball. A Liberace and Liza Christmas, which is going to be playing at Coho Theater at 2257 Northwest Raleigh Street. They're going to open on December 1st. They're going to close on December 11th. They have all sorts of performances, which you can see at the Coho website, which is cohoproductions.org, or you can go to saffertinsequins.com. That's saffertinsequins.com. So after all that kind of really banal talk about how to get tickets and so on, now I have interesting people to talk to, David and Jillian. Welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So tell us, how did this come to fruition, the whole Liberace show? First of all, David's a brilliant, brilliant pianist.
Yes.
And I worked with him recently on Sweeney Todd at the Opera. And, you know, he's an incredible pianist and a wonderful performer. And so how did this all, why did you decide to do the tribute to Liberace?
Well, it started off as a stunt, really. It wasn't meant to go this long.
That's what Liberace said.
You're right. Well, so a few years ago, I used to, for Fertile Ground, I was doing my own birthday shows once a year. And they were always variety shows. They might have classical music, ballet dancers, puppets, who knows, anything. And for the fourth birthday show, I had met Jillian, who is the best Liza Minnelli. And I wanted her on the show. And she says, yes, absolutely. And I thought, that's great. And then my friend Sam Hawkins does a very good Truman Capote impression. And I said, please be on the show. And he said, great. And then I thought, well, now who am I going to be? And Sam was the one that said, oh, you should play Liberace. And at first, I mean, I dismissed that idea right away because I thought, okay, that's not going to be easy. And then Sam also does a lot of costume design. And he said, don't worry, I'll make your outfit, all that, your rings, all that will be covered.
Oh, that's incredible. Mm-hmm.
So that was a big step. That's a big step.
Oh, right. So you feel the part when you've got
everything.
I couldn't imagine you're doing Liberace without the accoutrement.
It's very difficult. So then I started practicing a couple of his shorter pieces, and he didn't write out any of his music. So I went on YouTube and watched him, you know, all these great videos of him, and just by ear, try to figure out what he did. And Jillian, probably about, 2 weeks before our first show, the first time I'm ever performing as Liberace, Jillian said, hey, do you happen to know that Liberace's music director lives in town? He said, no, I did not know that. She says, yeah, he...
While you've been assiduously taking those songs and notating them, you could have just gone and met some guy.
Right. So, but
when I saw how incredible he was, though, at Liberace, because I wasn't sure if he was going to continue with it at all. I was like, oh gosh, this has got to be, we've got to connect these guys together.
Well, and coincidentally, I'd been reading, I was getting my hands on everything I could, like books that Liberace had written. So I had his first autobiography, and I had read a couple paragraphs about Boers in that book. And so Jillian said, okay, I'm taking you. Tony Starlight's having this private Christmas party. We're going. You're my plus
one.
Date. That was her date. And I went, and sure enough, like I knew right away that there was this guy sitting at a table alone, and it was Boers. And so Jillian and I went up to talk to him. And Jillian was about to spill everything and, you know, tell Bo what was going on. And I stopped Jillian, because I thought, no, no, it's too soon. And so I said...
You were starstruck.
I was a little starstruck. You know, I'd been reading about him in the in the book, and I said, Bo, I've been reading about you. You're in Liberace's first autobiography. And he thought, oh, that's great. Someone's reading that book. And so we chatted for a little bit, and then Then I left him. And then an hour later, I went back up to him. And I said, okay, listen, Bo, this is what I'm really doing. And he was delighted. And he says, well, let me tell you. He says, I'm going to give you some advice. And I thought, okay, who better? And he said, you know, everyone remembers Liberace for his outfits and for the rings. And you know, he was closeted his entire life. But he said, you know, he wanted to be remembered as a pianist. And he says, that's the biggest thing. He says, if you're going to play him, playing the piano like him and playing as well as you can, that's number one.
Oh, what a wonderful piece of information.
Yeah. Well, so then we exchanged our, like, information, and a week later, I wrote to him and said, hey, if you and your wife want to come see the show, you know, I'll give you comps. And he said, that's great. We'll be there opening night. And
No pressure.
No pressure. My first time putting on everything. Now, Jillian, fortunately, at that point, she played Liza for several years, but I'd never, this is my first time playing Liberace, and you know, like, you know, as a performer, it doesn't matter who's in the audience, you just go out and do it.
I am one who often tells my fellow actors, I don't want to know who's in the audience.
Right.
I don't want to know.
Right.
I don't want to know. I want to do it the same for everyone, but there's no question that when you know that someone important, quote unquote, whatever that means to you, is in the audience, it gets under your skin sometimes. It's just, anyway, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he was there. He came. He didn't stay after, which to me made me nervous.
Right. Of course. You think, oh my gosh, he left in tears. He stormed out.
You can hear the door
slammed.
Well, the next day, he emailed me this beautiful email, and I cried when I read the email, because I've been working so hard on performing as Liberace that Bo validated everything I've been doing, and he wanted to meet, and so we did. We had brunch and spent hours chatting, and he told me, he said, you know, he says, I will help you musically in any way that I can.
What an incredible offer.
So we've come from that to, like, this past September, where we did our first tour out of Portland. We went to Wisconsin and did three shows there, and we did our two-hour show, and where Jillian plays Bernadette Peters in the first act and Liza Minnelli in the second act. And
what a tour de force.
Yeah.
The wigs are a little different.
Yeah. Quite.
Just a scotch.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny, as we're sitting across from each other, I can just imagine you as both.
Oh, stop it. Go on.
And now we're doing a Christmas show.
Yeah.
So, without Bo, only because Bo is...
He's a busy man.
He's a busy guy, and he's working at Tony Starlight's all month. Otherwise, Bo would be in it.
And then probably, you know, in the next incarnation, he'll continue. I mean, he participates in spirit.
But we will have him opening night, right?
Yeah, we have special guests
every night.
Almost every night, yeah.
Nice.
Barbara Ayers,
his wife, and Bo, and then Tony Starlight are our guests the first night. Mm-hmm. That's information that you can find on my website, or, you know, we'll have a Facebook website.
And the Coho website as
and
well.
Coho
I saw
website,
it, right,
yeah.
CohoProductions.org, which we just figured out. And SaffertonSequins.com.
Yes.
And the show opens on December 1st, and it runs through December 11th with performances Thursday through Sunday, and also matinees I'm seeing on two Sundays, which is nice for people who want to go have brunch and enjoy something festive.
Yeah. And the show is, it's a one-act, 75-minute show. We didn't want to do any, you know, it's not like a three-hour Nutcracker. Mm-hmm. Nothing against the Nutcracker, but it's a kind of show, because Coho's over, you know, in between 23rd and Northwest 23rd.
Perfect place to go see a show and then go shopping afterward, or go walk around the adorable, you know, neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So what type, you're doing all music that Liberace actually did? Or are you doing songs as, how do you filter through all the material?
Yes, we should talk about your songs too. For Liberace, I have two numbers that he actually did. One, he never toured during Christmas. Mm-hmm. He, in his 1950 shows, he had Christmas TV shows. But he always took Christmas off, and his manager always tried to get him to tour at Christmas because that's like cash cow season mm-hmm. for performers. And Liberace always said, no, 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 this is for this season is for family, it's for friends, I'm staying home.
Oh.
So he never toured, but he did make a Christmas album, and so I have a couple numbers from, like, medleys from the Christmas album that I've learned.
Christmas in July.
Yeah, that's a, yeah. He has, like, a Santa Claus medley, there's a nice ballad. I'm throwing in a Sugar Plum Fairy rag. That he didn't play, mm-hmm. but it sounds like
he would have
yeah. played it. Yeah.
So what was the real relationship between Liberace and either Liza or Judy, for that matter?
There, you know, there wasn't really a relationship. There was, I mean, I know he knew Judy.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, I mean, there were some pictures of them together at parties and... he had a lot of musical evenings, and so I mean, I think they were in the same
social circles, mm-hmm. but never performed together.
No. Mm. And Liza,
that would have been a lot of shiny.
Yeah,
so much.
A lot of shiny.
Yeah.
I just feel like if Liza and Liberace had gotten together, they'd be best friends.
Right.
That's the way we play it.
Like David.
Too. Yeah, we do play it like best friends. I mean, it's sort of.
Best friends with, like, inside jokes.
Yeah.
And
I mean, we're doing honest.
Tease each other.
Yeah, we're being honest and giving honest portrayals of these people, but it's sort of a fantasy
relationship.
Right, based on the truth about what we know about these people, both of whom were public personas, so who really knows?
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's what we kind of gather from loving them from afar.
Yeah, yeah. And they're both, I mean, they're just such wild, over-the-top personalities that just, you know, the two of them together is just some huge explosion.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fun. Like we can take any song and she'll sing it as Liza and I'll play the piano as Liberace, and you know,
we'll do modern current songs and just put our own little twist on it.
Yeah.
So what are some of the Liza songs?
Well,
if you can, I mean, whatever you do,
though,
don't have to tell any surprises.
No,
but,
well, let's just say that there's a little Britney Spears involved.
Wow. Okay, I love that. Liza would probably love that. You should invite her.
Oh yeah, I would love to.
You really should.
Wait, she charges like $100,000 for her
an appearance.
Appearance.
But it's an invitation to a party. It's different.
Yeah.
I found that out actually doing that.
But
show.
Yeah. Right. Well, you did mention, though, that Liza, she always wanted to stay current.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
Like, doing these numbers.
She always changed with the times.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I know she did a lot of, you know, when the 80s was, you know, the 80s.
Mm-hmm. When the 80s was the 80s.
When the 80s was the 80s. She took a lot of musical theater songs and turned them into 80s
pop ballads.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
if the lyric fits, wear it.
Exactly. So I'm kind of trying to do the same thing that she would be doing, you know. And
yeah.
Then she did all the single ladies, and I think it's like almost like she can laugh and have fun and be with the times, and I think she can sing anything and make it funny and good.
Both of those people, I was almost going to say characters, because I, knowing what I do about people in show business, you know, it's what I think they created are so wonderful to be with in performance situation. You know, both of them seem to exude a warmth and a generosity fun that it's such a perfect, they're perfect hosts for a holiday get together.
I think that's what attracted, I don't know for David, but I think that's what attracted me so much to Liza. You know, when I lived in New York and I hear all these stories of friends that had met her or had hung out with her at some party or what, but she's just the most gracious and humble and lovely woman you'll meet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And their performances, both Liberace and Liza, I mean, like, there's no cynicism with them. You know, there's never a fourth wall.
Mm-hmm. It's as though you're really hopping into their living room.
Yeah, that's exactly what
it
is.
With two incredibly hospitable people.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're not going to talk about religion. They're not going to talk about politics. They're there just to simply entertain your pants off.
Right. Or the killer stage dresser, my sister.
Yes, her sister.
Lots of costume changes?
Well, a lot of, no. I mean,
no, actually, no.
Maybe a quickie. But my sister's doing the set, and she's got some pretty awesome ideas.
Now,
is
she a Portlander as well?
She is, oh. Yes. And she works on Portlandia. Oh. And so she's actually, the season's ended, so this is the first time I was like, oh, I've got to grab her before she gets another job.
Oh, that's great.
So we got her.
So yeah. Here's a question. Are Liberace and Liza cognizant of the fact that they're in Portland?
We make reference.
I'm just curious.
Lightly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lightly.
It's usually like where we are at the time. Like mm-hmm. at the Coho Theater, we'll probably mention like if there's a bar off to the side. Oh, I just got back from blah, blah, blah. We usually make reference to the neighborhood. Like a couple of.
Yeah. When we performed in Wisconsin,
things.
We definitely threw
oh,
in
St.
some
Jack's.
Local. Oh, right. Yeah.
Say, oh,
yeah.
St. Jack's.
Right.
I'm trying to think. What was that restaurant that's so wonderful right near there?
Matador.
Lots of places.
It was the Matador. That's right by there.
They're such proud people, though. It was really fun to hear the reactions when you mentioned.
When you were in Wisconsin.
Oh, we were in Wisconsin. Yeah. And of course, I grew up there, so I had, you know, a million references.
Right.
And, you know, you throw out something local. Midwesterners love local humor.
Right.
Maybe we.
Everybody
we
does. You just, I mean, look at us, for heaven's sake, Portlandia is a perfect example. Who doesn't want to see their city, you know,
exactly.
lambasted
right.
in public?
Right.
Oh, and he helped me out a lot during those
shows.
I was like, well, that's funny to them.
Yeah, we showed up to Wisconsin a week early, and I drove Jillian around this particular city and said, okay, this place is going to be funny. You should mention this lake.
Oh,
you should mention.
Quick trip.
Okay, right there. That is such a fun idea. It's like, you know, the entertainer's guide to cities.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if there is anything for stand-ups and all people who tour.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So you're just not saying, I love you, Portland.
Yeah, I hope
so.
You know, specificity.
Yeah, exactly.
So now, are you a native Portlander?
I'm a native Salemite.
Oregonian.
Salemer. Yeah, Oregonian. I think we're called Salemites, actually. But yeah, it kind of felt like a small town though, Salem. It was, I mean, it's very populated, but it has more of a small town feel, I think.
So how was Wisconsin? How did they enjoy Liza and Liberace?
Yeah.
Well, some of the big things we had going for us is that Liberace was from Wisconsin.
Oh, mm-hmm. I don't think I knew that.
He was from Milwaukee, and we were up near Lake Superior, so the other end of the state. But I think there's a lot of pride with the audience members, you know, like Kevin Liberace.
We're on Milwaukee, right?
And we're on Milwaukee.
What?
Spelled differently. Spelled differently.
That's true.
But man, the audience, what we found about what we do is it doesn't matter how old you are or your background, like it's they just really love it. And I think it's just like this pure variety show, like this pure form of entertainment that you don't even have to know who Liberace is or who Liza is to enjoy it. I mean, it's
but who on earth does not know Liberace or Liza? I mean,
well, you'd be surprised.
Really?
It's actually, you know, and you have some stories. I have some stories about people looking, you know, coming to our shows and then looking them up and YouTubing these characters and then go and then kind of connecting the, oh my gosh, that was really good. I mean, they had a good time, but they're like, oh, those are impersonations.
Well, you know, it's funny too, because I forget it's a time, you know, it's an era specific entertainment, you know.
Although these two people have like their careers span how many decades? I mean, Liberace always said, I think around like he had a 40-year career, and Liza, I mean, she's still
cooking.
Going.
She's still
So these are, they're legends.
They are legends.
We're performing as.
Mm-hmm. Well, the show sounds fantastic. I know people will love it, so don't miss the show. And now, just talking to you two about other things that you're doing other than Liberace and Liza right now, and the holidays coming up. Mm-hmm. Have you had like a fun adventure recently, a personal adventure?
My adventure was probably back in September when I moved. My girlfriend and I moved next door. We were in an apartment building in Northwest Portland for 8.5 years. Mm-hmm. It's the longest I've ever lived in an place, like a single place.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to the second floor of this gorgeous house next door, and now we have a two bedroom and all this space. And I had to get a new piano because my piano was a big old upright, and it wasn't going to make it up the 30 stairs. And actually, no piano was going to make it up the 30 stairs because it has this weird crook at the top.
Wait a minute. I know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
This is an amazing story. Yes. Oh, it's such a good story. Okay. Tell us, David.
Right. So the piano movers, I had these piano movers come and check out the house in the first place. And they saw the 30 stairs and said, yeah, we'd rather not do this. Now the stairs had just gone completely straight up.
Right.
They would have done it. But
because they take the legs off grand piano, which some people may not know.
Yeah.
And then they screwed them up staircases.
Yeah, they can do that. Now I haven't, the one new one I bought is also an upright, but it's not like the big old uprights that they used to make. But when you get to the top of the stairs, almost top of the stairs, it does this left turn, immediate left turn, and there's no way.
Pianos don't turn that way.
They don't do it.
No, there's no hinges.
So this was almost a deal breaker for moving as well, because I thought I have to have a piano.
Oh, for heaven's sake, it's your profession.
Yeah.
Why?
So then they said, well, are there any other entrances? And I said, and I kind of laughed, I said, well, there's the front balcony. And they said, oh, let's look at it. So we went out to the front balcony, and they said, you know, we'll have a crane operator come by and see if he thinks that your piano could get craned.
It sounds like something out of a Warner Brothers cartoon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It really does. Mm-hmm. It's Wile E. Coyote and bugs.
Well, and that's all that was going through my head. I never, when I imagined the piano coming up to my apartment, it had dropped somewhere.
You can hear the sound in your head, you know, of a piano dropping because it's done so in so many movies.
Yeah. Well, the day it came, I had put a Facebook invite out. You know, I said, hey, the piano's coming between 1 and 1:30. We probably had 25 people outside watching.
Oh, I love it.
And they loved it. I was terrified the whole time. But the crane had to lift the piano over a bunch of power lines. And that was what creeped me out as well.
Oh, my gosh.
And from where I was standing, my perspective was that the bottom of the piano was just about 3 or 4 inches from hitting the power lines.
I'm assuming you have quite a lot of photographs of this.
Yes.
Because I'm hoping that you will send one to me that I can put
on
the website.
And it's the only time I've ever seen the bottom of my piano.
Wow.
I'll probably never see the bottom of my piano.
You hope not.
Again. Yeah, I hope not.
If you do, something strange has happened to you.
Yeah.
Well, when I first saw your place, though, and you told me how they did everything, I was like, this isn't real life. This isn't how.
Yeah.
That's a good adventure. That's a fun adventure to talk
That's
about.
My
I like
adventure.
It.
I like it.
Jill, do you have something fun?
I want to go after you.
What's your adventure?
Well, after your shows are over, what are you going to do?
Well, you know, I'm spending the holidays with my family. I'm excited for that.
In Salem.
In Salem, yes. And I guess my last fun adventure, I went to Bend with a best friend. I got in touch with nature again.
You touched nature?
I actually physically touched nature.
It feels strange, doesn't it?
It does. It doesn't feel real.
Some of it's sticky and weird.
Some of it's sticky.
Some of it's nice. Smells good.
Yeah. I went to Smith Rock, and I got into a, there was like a hollowed out rock, and I took like a little cat nap in there, and I did.
So of all the other arts adventures there are in town, what are one or two that you both gravitate to other than your own? You know, I know, David, you probably see and work on every opera.
Mm-hmm.
Other stuff that inspires you? I recently was at a little tiny, you know, in a book or a gallery actually called 23 Sandy. And it's this tiny gallery and I'd never been there. And all of a sudden the whole world of letterpress was open to me. Just another art genre that I knew nothing about. It was it's so much fun. There's so many interesting things in town.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Do you like to see shows? Or
I love to go to piano bars. I think that's probably...
Have you been to Montcris's piano bar?
I have. And he used to play at Tony Starlight's, his old location.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there probably every Wednesday. And Beau Ayres holds another one. I think they're in...
It would be fun to get Bo to come to Mont Chris's piano bar at Artist Rep.
I would love for him to have a spot that's a little closer.
Yeah.
To be a regular again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was
so piano bars are your thing.
Oh, I just love it. If you feel like you're in a living room with all your friends and
right.
ones and just listening to, and sometimes there's always a surprise of like a new person that comes in.
Right.
And knocks you off your beat, just
right.
wow,
or
wow.
just heartens you. I know
it's
on Saturday night at Piano Bar, young people singing. It just
yeah.
it just breaks my heart, and in a good way. Like yeah. opens my heart
mm-hmm.
to love
mm-hmm.
of music and
yes.
how it brings people together. It's so much fun.
I love it. I love it.
How about you, David? What's your favorite thing? Arts-wise, or not favorite, but just something you like.
You know, I love going to check out comedy
mm.
and especially improv.
Oh, nice
comedy. We do a lot of improv.
Yeah. Well, you did a lot of that too, though.
I did prior to...
I interviewed Shelley McClendon
yeah,
a couple of,
yeah.
Golly, probably, well, over at least a month ago,
yeah.
month and a half maybe. And so she's doing all sorts of wonderful things with her company.
Yeah, Siren. Yeah. Oh, she's terrific. Yeah,
yeah.
She's one of the best in town.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something... I mean, what we do... You know, we rehearse our music. The music is rehearsed, but our banter is off the cuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like checking out improv and stand-up, too, can be that way. But, you know, watching people be that vulnerable
mm-hmm.
and, you know, there's training involved. It's not like anyone can just improvise.
And preparation.
Yes.
And it's so wonderful to see the process. I mean, you do a lot of research about your characters, and then you're able to bring them into a new context, and
yeah.
you can be them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, knowing what you know.
Yes, that's... And starting off, I remember like a couple of years ago, one of our first gigs together was at the University Club downtown.
Oh.
And I remember telling Julian, I said, you know, I can't wait for 2 or 3 years down the road when I feel more comfortable playing Liberace, like more comfortable with like being in his head. At that point, I was remembering lines,
right.
remembering things he said.
And chronologies.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And now it's to the point where, you know, we have...
It's
been
very,
outlined.
It's very loose. It's very...
Yeah.
Like, we've got some key, you know, we'll talk about it like... minutes before the show, we should bring up this, and this, and then we'll figure out when we do that.
Yeah.
You know?
But we just know these people so well, and we watched so many videos and read so much about them that it's like we just know what the next line, how that person would
say it.
What they would say.
Well, don't miss Jillian and David. Let them introduce you to Liberace and Liza at Coho Productions in December, starting on December 1st, Thursday, running through December 11th. And have a wonderful holiday, and I'm looking forward to hearing all about the show and hope to see it soon after in some other guise, because I know during the holidays I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
But so wonderful to talk to both of you.
Great, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.